And let's bow forward to prayer. John chapter 6. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to be in this church tonight. Just thank you for the opportunity to share what's going on in Taiwan and the great need that's still in Taiwan. Lord, I pray that you would just bless now as we look into your word. I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, you give us opening ears that we might listen to the word of God and that God might speak to our hearts, Lord. You know exactly what each one of us need. And I pray tonight that your word might fulfill that need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 6, we see the very familiar portion of scripture and story about the feeding of 5,000. And I'd like to do something tonight. I'd like to just quickly go through that story and touch on what we usually think about when we think about the feeding of 5,000. Then I'd like to do a little bit something different and look at this at a different angle. But let's look at the portion of scripture. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee to the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them, which were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw the great company coming to him, and saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And here we can see that some different principles or different things in the course of Scripture. Number one, Jesus knew the need of those who are following him. He knew that they needed to eat. And, you know, Jesus knows our need today. He knows the need of those who are following him. And he knows your need today, whatever it may be. Just as he knew the need of these people that were following him, he knows our need as well. And then look at verse number 7. The Bible said, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And not only did Jesus see the need of those who follow him, but Jesus wants us to see the need of the people. And so he knew what he was going to do, but he asked Philip, and he wanted Philip to see the need. He said that we should lift up our eyes and look on the field, for they're all white unto harvest. Jesus wants us to see the need of those people that are out in the world. And Philip said, not only did he see the need, but he also saw something else. Philip saw his insufficiency to meet that need. He said, what is 200 pennyworth? That's about 200 days' wage, over half a year of labor, of wages. How can we feed that? He saw his insufficiency to meet that need of the world. If we're honest today, we don't have what it takes to meet the need of 7 billion people in the world. Then what else does it say here? Verse number 8. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? He also saw the need. He also saw what he had. And he also saw the insufficiency of what he had. He couldn't feed the multitude with just what they had. But then what we always point out in this portion of Scripture, what God wants us to see, look at verse number 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. And now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. And so what's the story here? What's the principle here? What are we learning? Jesus wants us to take what we have and give it to him, and he'll bless it. He'll give it back to us, and then he'll help us to do something far more greater than what we could ever do on our own. He wants to take what you have today, and he wants to bless it. And he wants to multiply it so that you can be used to meet the need of the people today. And so that's what Jesus did. And so the disciples were able to see, yes, we don't have the sufficiency in our own, but through Christ, he can take what we have and he can multiply it and use it. And then the Bible says there in verse number 12, when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And we see another thing. God doesn't want us to waste what he's given us. The abilities that God's given us, the resources that he's given us, what he blesses and he wants to use, He doesn't want it to be wasted. And so they gathered it. Verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves, the 5 barley loaves that remained over above them that had eaten. And so they had 12 baskets full. Some people said, well, maybe there were 12 disciples there and every disciple got a basket. I don't know. But anyway, they had a lot left over and Jesus wanted it to be preserved. In verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. That is the prophet that should come to the world. And as we think about Christmas, they were looking for that prophet. Moses promised the prophet would come with the word of God. If you look at the book of John, they're talking about that prophet, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they believe that Jesus was the promised Christ. And so what a wonderful story of how God can take what we have and he can bless it and he can use us in a marvelous way, in a greater way than we could ever be used on our own without his help. But tonight I want to look at this portion of scripture, and I want to look at this little boy's lunch, and I want to think about 6 different things this little boy could have done with this lunch. And I want us to make a comparison of that lunch with our lives. What people often do with their lives. So 6 things this little boy, he could have done with this lunch, and 6 things that people often do with their lives. Number one, what else, what could this little boy have done with that lunch? Well, he could have wasted it. He could have wasted it. What little boy hasn't dropped his lunch? I mean, we still have the 5-second rule, amen? And it's still good, so it's good to go if we get it real quick. But he could have wasted it. What boy hasn't wasted their lunch? Hadn't dropped their food on the ground? I remember in Taiwan, there was a missionary that went on furlough, and we were watching over their house while they were gone, and this other missionary came for a short time, and so he was living in this house for a short time, and whenever they were leaving, I'm sure the missionary told his children, now go around and unplug all the appliances, the fans, the air conditioner, you know, things like that, the coffee pot, make sure we don't leave anything on. And so that's what they did. About a week later, my wife and I went back to the house just to check on it, and so we looked around. I opened up the refrigerator door. The kids had unplugged the refrigerator door. So I closed it and asked my wife to come over. And we had to clean it. And you can imagine in tropical weather and after a week, what was the mess inside all that food in the refrigerator. So this little boy, he could have wasted his lunch. He could have just wasted it. And how many people today are just wasting their lives? God has given us a life. God has given us life. He's given us opportunity. He's given us abilities. And he wants us to use them. He doesn't want us to waste our life. In verse number 12, he said that nothing be lost. I wonder this morning or tonight, are we using our life for what God wants us to be used for? The Bible says that every Christian, God has already preordained or prearranged some good works, some things that he wants us to do. And he doesn't want us to waste our life. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 25, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. All the devil will tell us today, if we give our lives to Christ, we're wasting our life. But really the truth, the opposite is the truth. Only when we give our life to Christ and let him use what he's given us, you know, can we find satisfaction and joy in what God wants us to have. Jesus said he came to give us life. And what else? Give us life more abundantly. Are we living in that abundant life, that blessed life, that life of joy and peace and happiness and that Jesus wants us to have? It comes only when we don't waste our life, but we give it to him. And so we should ask ourselves the question tonight, what am I doing with my 5 loaves and 2 fishes? What am I doing with the life that Jesus has given to me? There's a verse in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 2. The Bible says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, in the lust of men, but in the will of God. I like that little phrase there, the rest of his time. The rest of his life, all that he wouldn't live the rest of his life in the flesh, but he'd live it in the will of God. We can't change yesterday. We can't change our past, but we can change the rest of our life. And how are we going to live the rest of our life? Are we going to live it in the flesh, or are we going to live it in the will of God? Oh, I trust tonight that you won't waste the life that God has given you. Every day is precious. Every moment is precious. God has given us opportunity. God has given us abilities. And he doesn't want us to waste it. So that little boy, he could have wasted it. Number two, that little boy, he could have hid the crowd. He's just a little boy with a little lunch, maybe insignificant to many. He could have just hidden in the crowd. Maybe today you feel like, you know, you don't have much, just a small little lunch. Not very significant, not very great. But we see here that God can take even the smallest things and use them when they're given to him. Think about it. There were 12 disciples there. There were 5,000 men, women and children. But yet God used a little boy. And why did he use that little boy? Because he was willing to give what he had to the Lord. And tonight, God can use you regardless of what you have. And though it may seem small, maybe you feel like you're insignificant, but if you will give your life to Christ and let him use it and bless it and multiply it, you'll be surprised what God can do. And so this little boy, he could have hid in the crowd. Can you think of some people in the Bible that tried to hide from the Lord? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Remember Adam and Eve. Why was it that they tried to hide from God? They'd sin. And whenever sin comes in our life, we'll try to hide from the Lord. We won't want to read God's word. We want to be faced with our sin. We won't want to pray. We want to be faithful in church and serve the Lord because of sin. And so let's not hide from the Lord. Let's do as this young man did tonight. Praise God. Confess it and ask God for forgiveness and go on with our life and let God use our life. There's another man, probably didn't like fish after this story, but Jonah. Remember what he did. God called him to go to Nineveh, and he ran off to the Tarshish in the opposite direction. And why was he trying to hide from God and run from God? Because he wasn't willing to do what God was calling him to do. Maybe tonight God's calling you to something, and you're trying to hide in the crowd. Oh, don't do that. Give what you have to the Lord, and let him take it and use it. The Bible says in Psalm 139 and verse number 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? We can't run from God. God knows where we are. That little boy, perhaps he could have said, well, you know, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will give their lunch. Somebody else will take care of the need. But God wanted to use him. And maybe tonight God wants to use you. And so let's be willing to give what God give back to God what he's given us. My wife, I mentioned that she was saved when she was 5 years old. When she was a teenager, there was a missionary who came to her church, and he was given an invitation, and his wife was singing the song, Available. And the missionary said, will you make yourself available to God? And as a teenager, she thought, well, you know, I can do that. I don't think, what can God do with my life, but I'm available. And she went forward and just said, I'm available. God, you can use me. And the Lord used her and is using her because she made herself available. And so tonight, let's not hide from the Lord, but let's let God use us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so let's present ourselves to God and not hide from God and not run from God, but say, Lord, here's my life. Take it and use it for your honor and glory. And so that little boy, he could have tried to hide from the Lord. Number three, what else could he have done with his lunch? Well, he could have eaten it himself. It was his lunch, right? He could have said, it's mine. I can eat it. It's not my fault they didn't bring something to me. I did. So he could have selfishly said, I'll eat it myself. And how many people today have that same attitude? It's my life. I can live it like I want to. I can do what I want to. It's mine. But wait a minute. Was that lunch really that little boy's? Probably his mama made it for him, right? And the life that we have, is it really ours? The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, verse 73, it says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Thy hands have made me. God, you've made me and you've fashioned me. You've made me just like you want me for the purpose that you have for me in this life, for what you want me to do. And so we should say, Lord, give me wisdom that I may understand your word and understand what you want me to do. All tonight, he could have been selfish and lived for himself, but he gave it to the Lord. May we give our lives to Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If you're a believer here tonight, the Bible tells us when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in our heart. But He gives us a gift. He gives us a talent. He gives us an ability. That He wants to use that ability to build His church and to see people get saved. He wants us to be the light and salt of the earth. He wants to use us tonight. And so I ask you tonight, He says here that we might be good stewards. A steward is someone who takes care of someone else's possessions. God has given us life. God has given us our life. And so it's His life. Are we being good stewards of what God has given to us? So this little boy, he could have been selfish and eaten himself. We can be selfish and live for ourselves, or we can ask God to use our life to bless and help others to come to Christ. Well, that little boy, what else could have done? He could have just given part of his lunch to Christ. He could have said 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, you know, 2, 3, okay, 3. And one, giving some, that's not too bad, right? Giving half. He could have said, okay, I'll give half of my lunch to Christ. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? Remember they were judged. Why were they judged? Were they judged because they didn't give all to Christ? Or were they judged because they lied about how much they gave to Christ? They were judged because they lied about. You know, sometimes we sing all to Jesus. All I give, all to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. I wonder, do we really surrender all? If I went to, I am in Brother Clifford's house, but if tonight after church, if we go to his house and I walk in the door and he says, Brother Keith, stay right here in the foyer. Don't go to the kitchen. I know you like that refrigerator. Don't go there where the TV is and watch a ball game. Don't go in the room and relax and take it easy. You stay right here. I'm in his house, right? But do I have freedom in his house? No. But if I go home like he always does, and he said, Brother, well, he didn't always say that, but I know what he means. If you want to go to the refrigerator, you know, I've got stuff there. Dr. Pepper there. I know you like Dr. Peppers. They're there. You can go watch TV if you want to watch a football game. If you're tired, you know, go take a rest. He's given me freedom to his whole house. That's like us when we get saved. The Holy Spirit comes in our lives. But sometimes we say, you stay right here. Don't you interfere with my eyes, what I see, my mouth, what I say, my ears, what I listen to, my hands, what I do, my feet, where I go. Don't you mess with these areas of my life. See, the Bible says that we should be filled with the Spirit. And it's when we're filled with the Spirit that we have the fruits of the Spirit. And then we can be used of God in a wonderful way. And then it's Him using our lives in a way that we can't even imagine. Tonight, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And if not, why not? What is it that's hindering us from being filled with His Spirit? You know, to be filled just means if this bottle was full of water, it'd be filled and water would be coming out. In our lives, if it's me or the flesh and in my heart, then I'm not filled with the Spirit, right? I'm filled with the flesh. And so be filled with the Spirit. Let God have His way. That little boy, he gave everything to Christ. He gave his lunch, all of it, to the Lord. All tonight, may we give all of our life, every area of our life to the Lord. May we not hold back anything from Him. Because when we hold back some area of our life, we hinder Him from using us in the way that He wants to use us in his work. And so the little boy, he could have only given part of it. I wish tonight we had time to go into the book of Exodus, chapter 8. In the book of Exodus, the children of Israel are in Egypt and they're wanting to leave, and Moses is going to Pharaoh. And we see 4 times Pharaoh makes a compromise in their life. And so Moses asks them if they can leave to go worship the Lord. And Pharaoh says, worship God in Egypt. Now what does that represent? Egypt represents the world, does it not? Sin. And so Pharaoh is saying, okay, or we can make the analogy there, worship God in Egypt. And many Christians try to worship God in the world. And it doesn't work. And Moses said, no, we can't do that. And then Pharaoh said, okay, you can go worship God, but don't go far. The Bible says that. Don't go far. And a lot of people say, well, okay, I'll be a Christian and I'll go to church, but I don't want to be a fanatic. I don't want to give everything to Christ. Don't go too far in your religion. That's what the devil tries to tell us. And so Moses said, no. And then Moses said, okay, we want to go and we want to take our children. And Pharaoh said, no, the women and men can go, but don't take your children. What's he saying? Okay, mom and dad, you can be a Christian, but don't let your religion influence your children. Don't bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't teach them about Christ. Moses said, no, we're all going to go. And then Pharaoh said the fourth thing. He said, okay, your women can go, your men can go, your children can go, but don't take your cattle. Now, what did the cattle represent? Their possession, their wealth. What they were going to sacrifice to the Lord. What they were going to give to the Lord. And I like what Moses said. He said, not one hoof of one cow will remain in Egypt. In other words, we're all gone. Total surrender to the Lord. And that's what God wants. He wants us to give our all to Him. So He can use every area of our life to help other people. And so this little boy, he could have only given part of his lunch, but he gave it all. And then what else could he have done? Well, he could have tried to sell his lunch to the Lord. He could have tried to bargain with the Lord. He could have said, now, Lord, I know that I have what you want. And if you will do this for me, then I will do this for you. Sometimes Christians are like that. We try to bargain with the Lord. I remember the first person we baptized in Taiwan. It was a young lady. She was single. And she went through our Bible school. Now she's a full-time missionary among women and children, going to different countries in Asia, helping them with their Sunday school and things like that. But she was single, and her mother was lost. And her mother said to me, she said, whenever God gives my daughter a husband, I'll believe in Jesus Christ. And she said that for years. I'm not going to get saved until my daughter gets married. And she was trying to bargain with the Lord. Praise the Lord, before she passed away, I had the privilege of leading her to Christ in the hospital. And she changed her mind. But a lot of people are like that. They try to bargain with God. Can we really bargain with the Lord? No, because really everything we have came from Him. He doesn't owe us anything. We owe Him everything. The Bible tells us in Psalm 100, verse number 3, it says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep in His pasture. We live in His world. He has given us our life and all that we have, the strength that we have to make what we've made, the knowledge that we have to do what we do. All that we have has come from Him. And so we can't bargain with Him. Lord, I'll do this for you if you do that for me. No, we should come and say, it's a reasonable service. You've already saved me. You've already given me so much. I'm going to give you my all. So let's not try to reason with the Lord. In John chapter 15 and verse number 5, the Bible says, for without me, you can do nothing. And this is the last thing that little boy could have tried to done. He could have tried to feed the multitude himself. He could have said, okay, I got the lunch. I'll feed the multitude. If that was the case, I hope I was in the front of the line, amen? Because that 5 loaves and 2 fish wasn't going to go far. But you know, it's sad to say that many people have the idea, the philosophy, or the I don't need the Lord. I was doing some work at the church, some masonry work at the church, and bought some tiles, and I was going to fix the tile, and I went to witness to the lady that was selling the concrete and tiles, and I told her that Jesus came and died for her and could forgive her sin and could give her eternal life. And what she said to me just struck me and broke my heart. She said, I don't want to trust somebody to die for me. I want to do it on my own. And so many people today don't want to trust in Jesus Christ. They think they can trust in their own good works. They trust what they've done, what they can do, their own good works, what they've done, what they've given. But tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, may we realize that we can't do it on our own. If We didn't need Jesus Christ as our Savior. He'd have never come to this earth and died on the cross and suffered like he did. We need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. And so this little boy, he could have said, I'll do it on my own. I'll feed the multitude. But it would just lead to failure. And so many times, even in our Christian life, we aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. We try to live the Christian life in our flesh, in our own strength. And that only leads to failure and not the joy that God wants us to have. And so tonight, may we realize that Jesus is here. And like we see, he asks for us to give what we have, and he'll bless it, and he'll give it back to us, and then he'll use it, and then we can do more than what we could ever do on our own. And so tonight, let's think about these six things. Am I wasting my life tonight? Are you wasting your life? Have you given your life to him? The phrase goes, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Will your life last for the Lord? Then number two, are we living, trying to hide from God? Maybe God's speaking to your heart tonight. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. You've been hiding in the church. Hiding, you're a child and you're hiding on your mom and dad's beliefs. And you yourself haven't personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe God's calling you to do something. Maybe be a missionary. Maybe to get involved in some ministry of the church. And you've been hiding and not willing to come out and say, yes, here's my life. I'm available. Lord, I give it back to you. Maybe we're selfish and just trying to live for ourselves. Not willing to live for Christ and to serve him. May we decide tonight that we're going to live for him. Maybe we're trying to bargain with God and saying, Lord, if you do this for me, then I'll be willing to read my Bible. I'll be willing to go to church. I'll be willing to do something that God's speaking to our heart. Maybe we're a part-time Christian, a Christian on Sunday and Wednesday only, but not 7 days a week, not giving our all to Christ. May we be willing to, I surrender all. And then maybe we're trying to live the Christian life on our own, without his power, without his blessing, without his help to help us to do things that he wants us to do. Oh, I pray tonight as we think about this little boy and what he gave to the Lord, that we think about our 5 loaves and 2 fishes, our life. What am I going to do with it? What will I do with the rest of my time? Will I live it in the flesh, or will I live it in the will of God? God wants to use you tonight. He wants to use your life for his glory, to help build the church, to help people come to Christ. Will you give your life to him? Let's bow for a prayer. Our Father, thank you tonight for the story we can read about this little boy and his example. Father, may we ask ourselves, what will we do with our life? What are we going to do with the rest of our life? I pray, God, that we'd be willing to give it to you and see what you can do with our life, in a life that's totally given to Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to ask ourselves that question. Am I willing to give my all to Christ so he can bless every area of my life and use me in ways that I never dreamed of? In Christ's name I pray. Amen.